Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. What's going on? We are. And the fact that we are living in an age of great opportunity. That was our beautiful brother, Marvin Gaye. That's such a timeless piece, isn't it? Doesn't matter what year that song is played. I don't know why it always seems so appropriate. Hang tight to your interior world and your exterior world, despite whatever changes that we might feel that we don't have any power over. We do have power over our inner changes, and that's what the show is about. It's about helping us to gain the faculties, the strengths that perhaps we've lost or forgotten or handed over to somebody else. We're not here to give our power up to anyone anymore. And as bad as it gets, this is where we're realizing the power is actually inside of us, and it's up to us to tap into that. You see, our future is in our hands. It's not in the hands of anyone else. And I've often told many of you, my friends, that sometimes you have to let your ego work for you. such as, I have so much ego that I won't let somebody's dislike or hate of me make me not loving to them. And I want you to think about that. Don't give away your power to somebody by picking up their disease or their disruption, you know, because we've got to be the ones that can reveal the beauty of God's divinity, the beauty of God's love and magic. And I came across a really powerful quote that I had to share with you today. It was on nobility. And nobility means that you are a truly noble soul, is someone who fills every breath with pure feelings and benevolence. And what we're being called to do is to become noble instruments of divinity and truth. And speaking about nobility, today we're going to have a heart-to-heart conversation with a lovely man that I met last year, Mr. Craig Kirby, who is talking about golf, my game, my future. And as you all know, Sister Jenna, love her some golf. Now, I have to tell you, last month I was in Miami and I was awful. So I've got to get my game back on. It's not been so good. But please stay tuned as we have this chit-chat with Craig. Before I get to Craig, though, I want to talk about my new CD that's coming out entitled Inclusion Revolution. And the reason why this CD has called us, or this album has called me, is to bring us together. This isn't some fairy game idea. We came here together, and we're going to leave here together. But the thing is, while we are here, we should try to find a way to live better together. It's okay for us to be different. It's not my business what you're doing. It's not my business what your dirt is. My business is to find out how much I can live in my power. My business is to find out to what extent I can declare divinity as my character. My business is to live a life of truth. And when I can do that, I feel I belong to everyone. I can work with everyone despite the behavior of anyone. So this album means a lot to me. It's a new groove. It really has a more of an upbeat feeling to it. I'm not taking you totally into your zen. You could come to me at a different time for that. But this is about keeping us internally pumped up and inspired to keep bringing our best forward. So I'm going to give you a sneak preview only on America Meditating Radio. Here is Inclusion Revolution. And then stay tuned. We're going to have a chit-chat with Craig Kirby. Take a deep breath and just love this. This is not your Zen meditation, but just love hearing it and feel the words. Take this moment and settle inside yourself. Breathe in and exhale. At this moment, I gradually allow my thoughts to settle into peace. And carefully, I observe these thoughts, and I am able to sense if I, the being of consciousness, I'm in harmony with myself. As a soul, the soul feels everything, whether it is aware of it or not. The heart, even though physical, signals to either soul if I'm embracing or resisting. If I'm including or excluding, if I'm loving or if I'm hateful. So behind these eyes sits the living soul. In fact, I've come to realize that we are all souls, so we are all the same. Our stories are different, but we are the same in the form of being a soul. And that means we're all included. The soul feels uncomfortable when it excludes anyone because of an attachment to religion, race, gender, nationality,
working on the body. And every time I find myself excluding someone from my story, I too am excluded from another story. When we hurt, it's a sign that we're in need of a powerful lesson. So sitting in this meditation, I open myself to an unfolding, larger connection for I, the soul, am a giver and a receiver of light. And in this consciousness of light, I can embrace the community of all souls and respect every soul for the journey that they're on, inwards and upwards. We all come from the same source, the divine, the source of love, peace, purity, kindness, and truth.
That was your sneak preview of Inclusion Revolution. Hope you like the beat. I know that it's been keeping me up in the mornings, and it just keeps me really fired up. And I mean that in all spiritual sense. And speaking about fired up, we have a wonderful guest on the air joining us today, Mr. Craig Kirby. He's one of the nation's premier political strategists, and his thought-provoking strategies galvanizing the essence of uptown with the common sensibilities of downtown. Craig has led to issue advocacy and electoral successes for candidates at all levels of government. Craig is now the founder of Golf My Future, My Game, which brings the tradition and sport of golf to young people, women, and people of color, particularly those studying at historically black colleges and universities, through a series of programs designed to improve their game and help them build meaningful relationships with players, corporate partners, and philanthropists. Today, we welcome my dear friend Craig Kirby to the America Meditating Radio Show. And before I get Craig on, I just want to let everyone know, since I've met this beautiful being, I have only experienced the kindest, compassionate, most endearing human being that I've met in a long time, especially in good old Washington, D.C. So welcome to the air, my brother.
Well, good morning, sister. How are you, Sister Jenna, my sister?
So good to have you join us on the air today. I know you've been busy and you just came back from the historically black college of universities, right? You just had a conference with them, and I think you came back with some good news to share with us too, right?
We did. We were down in Amelia Island last week with NAFIO, which represents all 106 historically black colleges and universities and predominantly black institutions. We were able to engineer a partnership between the PGA of America and all of the HBCUs across our country. Golf becomes not just a sport that they have an opportunity to play, but understand the industry that they can become a part of. And I have to tell you, Sister Jenna, it's, you know, you talk about, I was listening this morning, the inclusion revolution. This is an industry that is a $70 billion industry. So just to know that folks who have been underrepresented in this now have an opportunity to be included, that's what makes the sun shine.
Amen to that. And that's really what I feel that your nonprofit is doing. And I want to talk more about it because you come from a prominent political strategist background, which was news to me today. So you need to come talk to me more. And you've worked on so many successful campaigns. But now you've moved your life into something that, I mean, you and I might say it's a little bit of an uphill climb, but it's your heart, it's your passion, and you opened up Golf My Future, Golf My Game. Tell us a little bit about what got you to start this nonprofit and a little bit about the nonprofit.
Well, I'll tell you, I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, And first off, thank you so much for having me on your show this morning. I'm just so thrilled to be a part of it. But growing up in Dayton, Ohio, my parents were both educators. And Dad was acting superintendent of the Dayton Public Schools. Mother was an English teacher. So, you know, we lived fairly well. We were happy. I was a very happy child. But I would pass a golf course a minimum of twice a day, going to and from school and other places. And no one, parents, teachers, mentors, no one ever thought to tell me to play golf. I played football, basketball, ran track. I was afraid of that little baseball, so I didn't do that. But I ended up going to Albion College for undergrad. And one morning I was sitting on the couch and these three fellas were coming downstairs and they were laughing and playing with each other. And by the time they got to me, they said, "Hey, Kirby, we're going to go play a round of golf. How would you like to come and play? Would you like to come play with us?" And I looked at them and I just became paralyzed for a nanosecond. And I said, "Sure, I'll play." Mind you, had never picked up a club ever. And we get to the golf course, and I just go, they go, "Well, you're up." And I said, no, you all go. Uh-huh. You know, I'm new to the group, so I give you the honor. And I did that because I had to see what and how they were doing it, right, that being swinging a golf club. And when it was my turn, I got up, and I remember saying a prayer, like, "Dear God, please don't let me look like a complete idiot here." And I hit the ball, and I'm like, I can do this. And that was the fall of 1982, and that's when I started playing golf. And the second time, Sister Jenna, that I played, I was with one of my friends, and he said, "Hey, Craig, what are you doing this summer?" And I looked at him and I said, "Mark, I'm not really sure." And he goes, "Well, how would you like to work on a cruise ship?" And I said, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "My dad has some friends who own a cruise line and et cetera, et cetera." And I said, "Sure, Mark, what do I need to do?" So he said to give him my resume, which I did. Next thing you know, Sister Jenna, I'm working. My first event was with former President Gerald R. Ford from Michigan.
Hmm.
And then I ended up working on this cruise ship. And I share that story because the opportunities that come from playing golf are just, they're mysterious. I mean, you never know who you're going to meet. You never know what the conversation can lead or where it can lead. And so I went into politics, and for 35 plus years, I started out as a young man, and then I became an operative, and then I became a strategist, then a senior strategist, and then a chief senior strategist. Wow. And after Mark Warner's Senate race, I said, "You know what? I really think I want to do something else." I'm sorry, it wasn't Mark Warner's Senate race. Back in 2007, then Governor Mark Warner from Virginia was going to run for president, and I was going to run his presidential campaign. Well, he decided in October of that year that he didn't want to do it. And he came to us and he said, "Listen, I know I've probably ruined your lives, but what can I do to help you?" And I looked at him and I went, well, this is my chance. So I shared with him my love for golf and my interest in diversifying golf. And Senator Warner called then PGA Tour Commissioner Tim Finchem and set a meeting for me to go down and meet with him. And what was supposed to be just a 45-minute meeting ended up being 5 hours. And I thought, oh, my gosh, they really are taking me seriously. Well, if you recall, 2007, 2008, that's when the economy just tanked. And the PGA Tour, the industry, was more concerned about keeping their pants up and on than diversity. I mean, it was important, but it wasn't significant. But I kept at it, and I kept at it, and I kept at it, and I kept at it. And that's where we are today. I mean, from 2007 to now, we've touched over, since 2014, we've touched over 300 kids, women,
wow,
millennials. I mean, in the D.C. area, we've got 3 elementary schools, 3 middle schools, 1 high school. We work very closely with a community-based organization. We provide free weekly golf clinics every Saturday morning at the Marlton Golf Club, which is in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And I comment on that because there are 15,000 plus privately owned golf courses in this country. Of those 15,000 plus, 4 are African American owned. And one of those 4 happens to be our home course, which is where we run all of our programs through.
Wow.
So, you know, imagine being able to take a kid who looks like me, African American, and he or she is talking to an owner of a golf course. You can't tell that child that they can't be this.
I get that. And just imagine, it's a $70 billion industry, which means the opportunities for growth and building a career is enormous. But how many of us actually even knew that? And I have to reiterate something that you did share, because when I started to play golf, thanks to my wonderful sister at Unity Church, when she got me on the golf course, I had no idea the rich conversations that would ensue and the enormous potential in building relationships that were very meaningful. And I hadn't realized that it was such a mystical sport, because there was a time, Craig, all I ever thought was like, golf is like for, what is this? This is so boring. But it isn't. There's a whole narrative there really waiting to explore. Talk about a little bit, tell us a little bit about what sets Golf My Future, My Game, apart from other organizations?
I think, one, it's my philosophy. And my philosophy is that we are not put on this earth to see through one another, but we're put on this earth to see one another through. And so, as you just shared, golf is one of those avenues where you meet someone and you learn from them. And you can teach them. And, you know, at any given point, on any given day, we're all learners, teachers, and doers. And this sport allows us to fit all of those roles. I mean, we also, Sister Jenna, we care about each and every one of our kids. I mean, we know what their likes are, their dislikes. We know their parents and or their parent. We know what they may have an interest in. You know, I come from a historical place where you can't teach what you don't know and you can't lead where you don't go. I've been where these kids are. So I know how to talk to them, what to ask them, to share with them, you also can do this. And that's very helpful as we create and tailor our programs to the communities that we focus on. I mean, my over 35 years of politics allowed me to see many and various people all over the world. And so I took a little bit of each of those people that I met and have essentially made that the nut, the essence of this foundation. And so, you know, there's a woman, she's now deceased, but she was from Chicago, and she worked with Reverend Jesse Jackson at Operation Push. Her name was Reverend Willie T. Barrow. And she shared with me one day, she said, Craig, you know, in this country, in this world, we are not as much divided as we are disconnected.
Mm,
and so what Golf My Future, My Game is doing is we're connecting dots. We're connecting energies. We're connecting promises.
Right. Yeah, I love, and that's an important thing because there's such a disconnect between people's, I think, interpretation of themselves and
mm-hmm.
people's interpretation of others. Example, there you are in Ohio, a bunch of individuals who have a different color skin comes over and says, join us on the golf course. You pass that golf course every day and didn't even think that you belonged there. Was it your interpretation is black, you don't belong there, their interpretation is white, nobody else belongs here but us? That there is such a big need for a deep kind of education on awareness, consciousness, and transforming interpretation. And I bet you those over 300 kids that you have served so far, I can assure you, I bet their interpretations have changed.
They really have. They, Sister Jenna, you know, I shared a story a few weeks back. This summer, we had three interns from Ballou Senior High School over in Washington, D.C., Southeast Washington, D.C. And the funny thing to me was that these three interns were all girls. They were young girls. One morning, I come into the office, and the kids come in, and I look at one of the students, and I go, you know, Michaela, you look really tired. She goes, Mr. Kirby, I just didn't get that much sleep last night. And I said, well, dear, you've got to get your rest because, you know, when you're at the course, it takes all your energy. And she says, I know. And I said, well, what time did you go to sleep last night? She goes, about 9:30. And I went, what time did you wake up this morning? She says, about 7:30. And so I'm doing the math in my head. And I look at her, and she goes, I know what you're going to ask me, but my mama came in about 11:15 last night, and she woke me up. And I went, well, why? She goes, well, my brother got shot last night, and my other brother got hit by a car. And Sister Jenna, I looked at her, and I said, what? And she said, yeah, that's what happened. Like, it's just normal for that to happen in Southeast D.C. where she lives. And then I said, well, I'm so sorry to hear that. Is your brother okay? And she said, yeah, he's going to be all right. And my other brother, he's still in intensive care, but we think he'll be okay. And I said, okay, well, do you want to go home? She goes, no. She goes, I want to be here today because I want to go back to the course. I learned so much the past couple of days, and I want to continue to learn. And that was like, that was the story that said we're doing what it is
the
God
right
wants us to do, the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Love that story. That's a big achievement. I think a lot of people move away from the power in how interpretation, when transformed at a heart level, to me can create a whole new generation that could shift the trajectory of our future. And I think we need more individuals who are mindful and are focused on breaking through the walls of the limits that have been imposed on particular cultures or race or even genders. So thank
mm-hmm.
you for that. Thank you for that. So how are you spiritually? Here you are, an uphill climb of a nonprofit. A lot of doors are opening. You've now got PGA, HBCU behind you and a lot of other good things that are happening. How do you maintain your spiritual integrity as you move through what you know is at your heart level, but also aware of the interesting doors that you have to break down to move this story forward?
You know, great question. And I'll tell you, I've come from a bedrock of love and of support. And my mother taught me early on the significance and the importance of faith. But she also shared with me the importance of balance and being balanced and keeping that joy in my heart. Because people will try to steal your joy, but you can never let them take your joy. No one gave you that joy. That joy was given to you from above. That joy is what blossoms into a peace and a calm that continues to keep me steady each and every day. So I sometimes have to laugh at myself because the lens of which I look out is completely different than what others look out of, obviously. But other people may see nothing but doom. I see nothing but joy and peace. And I see the sunny side.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that sunny side that, again, my parents instilled in me. And, you know, I always share with people what's most important and significant to the heart is invisible to the eye. And that right there has given me an endurance to continue on. And then I get to play a little bit of golf every week, a little bit. Okay, so maybe 2 or 3 rounds. What's interesting about golf is it's a very meditative sport. I mean, golf is a journey, and there are so many challenges with obstacles in those 18 holes. I mean, I tell people golf really is an endless series of tragedies obscured by occasional miracles. But it's that miracle that keeps bringing me back and so many others. But when you think about being on a golf course, Sister Jenna, there is this deep connectedness. I mean, there is this power of concentration that you've got to have when you're out there. I mean, you've got to have this peace. You've got to have calm. And you've got to have a strength of mind. And you've got to let this carry with you for 18 holes. You've got to continue each and every hole to create moments of calm. Why are you laughing?
Yeah, I agree. I'm laughing because I just know nobody understands how deep the sport is. And I had no idea. I remembered, Craig, when I got to I think it was the 10th hole, I was like, what, I have to continue?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
well, it challenges your endurance. It is. It challenges
really
your endurance. Yeah.
I mean, I love that. How many times you start holes 1 through 6, you're excited.
Mm-hmm.
7 through 9, you're living so you can make that turn. So you can go get that hot dog or chicken salad sandwich or Coke or Gatorade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then when you hit that back 9, and like you said, 10, 11, well, really 11, 12, and 13, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Those holes right there. And
then
you're not playing well. You're like, let me just stop. But that gets back to this whole connectedness piece and concentration.
Yeah.
And literally, I've heard so many people say, all right, I mean, in golf, you become aware of your emotion.
Yes.
You become aware of your body sensations. You become aware of the unfolding environment. All of these things, as you know, are going on out there. Meanwhile, somebody who's looking at it from afar just sees this very peaceful man and or woman walking a course. They have no idea the internal combustion that may be going on.
I hear you on that one. It's true. So here we are. Golf My Future, My Game is going far and wide. You've got kids, their interpretation of feeling forgotten is being erased. They are learning about a $70 billion industry in which they're growing in and knowing the behind and the front scenes. And you've got a passionate leader, you, behind all of this. How do you continue to grow? What will it take for us to help to support Golf My Future, My Game more? I mean, how can people donate to the organization?
Well, first off, to continue to grow, we continue to need prayers. But financial resources are very helpful. You know, you folks can, you can go to www.golfmyfuturemygame.org. And when you're on the site, there are two buttons. One is a golf ball that says support. You can click on that, or you can go to the donate button on the site and click on that. It'll take you to PayPal, which is essentially they host and facilitate all of our donations. And we're a 501c3, so all donations to our organization are tax deductible.
Okay.
And, you know, that helps us pay for our staff. More importantly, it helps us pay for travel for students, snacks for students, transportation for students, and it helps us to get our message out.
Beautiful. Any events that are coming up, is there anything that we can attend that you'll be hosting soon?
Well, every Saturday morning, we have, again, our weekly free golf clinics for women and children, and men can come also. They normally just play. But that's every Saturday morning at the Marlton Golf Course. It starts at 8:30 a.m., and the kids have a continental breakfast, which Insperity, one of our sponsors, hosts. And then, Sister Jenna, at 9 o'clock, we have a senior engineer from Booz Allen. He comes and he talks about STEM and golf. So we share with the kids the science, the technology, the engineering, and the math component and how it correlates with golf. And then we take them to the driving range and or the putting green and the chipping range, and they practice. They learn. So that's one thing that you can do every Saturday. September the 23rd, we are taking a group of our program, a group of our kids, to the USGA Museum in Far Hills, New Jersey. So if anyone has an interest, please let me know, and we'd love for you to join us. I think going up on the bus with the kids is entertainment and entertaining. But then the true joy is going to be watching them when they're at the USGA Museum.
Oh, I wish I could be there for that one. Oh, my gosh, I'd love to be there for that one. I know I'm going to be in California, but, oh, I would love to be at that one. Maybe next time. Well, thank you.
Sister Jenna, thank you. And thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your endurance, your passion, your commitment.
You're a sweetheart. You know, I think now the world is emerging individuals like yourself more and more because it really becomes a call of the human heart, integrity, consistency, and determination. And I know that that's the call. That's where civilization is emerging, individuals of that caliber now, because we need to wake up these God-given gifts that we came here with. And as horrible as sometimes things seem, there's also, I think, a very positive significance just lurking either behind or in front. So, my brother,
that's
blessings
true.
To you. Lots of success, continued love and support, and to be continued.
That's right. Thank you so much. Love you much. Stay well.
Take care. I will.
Bye-bye.
All the best. Bye-bye. So just listen to your own story through Craig's narrative, everyone. It's an opportunity for you to start to think about your call. You could start off by maybe, I don't know, by default, or you could start off where you feel like this is supposed to be your career and build things. And then as you move along in life, your heart starts to wake up something more. There's something connected to your own narrative, to something that someone did good for you that you want to give a return to humanity. This is the time. This is the time to begin to do the things you've always wanted to do that's going to be of support for our humanity. Wake up. Believe in yourself. Believe in your source. and you can create a beautiful future for yourself. If you'd like some more information on Craig Kirby, go to golfmyfuturemygame.org. I know that I've signed up for him on my Twitter handle, so I get updated by all the wonderful things that they're doing. And just imagine a $70 billion industry, and so many underrepresented youths. I have no idea of the possibilities of building a career in this industry. So do find out more about how best we can serve and be served. Thank you for joining us on America Meditating Radio. It always means a lot to me to get your countless emails and messages about what you learned from the show. Hopefully today you took some extra nuggets and you really are going to fly with it. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. We are here to love each other the same. Let's do that. Here is This Love by Bliss. Take care, everyone. Stay well.
Forever.